But I'm a bit like you. I don't know what he's going to say next. So, yeah.
I'm a bit deaf, so I didn't hear what you said then. So, yeah. It's a privilege to come and share with you. I'm very honoured to be here. I won't say it's good to see some old faces. It's good to see faces, young and old. It's actually 18 years and five pastors since I've been here, since I was here as the pastor. Lots of good things have been happening, both were happening when I was here and after I left. I came here with a passion for people to know the love and the grace of God, and for people to know that God wanted to be present with them in their life's journey and to help them discover that and to follow that. And there was a core group of highly committed people here when I started. And I'm going to, one thing that can unite a group of people is have a common enemy. And I'm about to make state names, and I'm bound to leave somebody out. So, yeah. But there's people like the Wootons, the Webbs, the Newlands, the Vinces, the Playfords, Falbushes, Jill Kent. I've already said the Nortons, did I? No, I didn't. Trebilcos, Hansford, the Smiths, Spargo, Wilf Spargo, the Haineses, Bungies, Linda Curdwood, the Fords, Robin Sharon Ford, and others who you might want to remind me who were here when I came, which is many years ago. And there were good things already happening when Lynn and I and Hayley and Nellarell and Rachel, as preschool and primary age children, we came and joined you here. But I want to give a little bit of background, just as we reflect on 30 years of this extension being here. People were moving into the area. It's probably the only time, and I don't think there's been much since, some subdivision happening in the area. And the Jollies, the Whites, the Anderson, I'm going to make some enemies again. I'm about to miss someone, I'm sure. The Andersons, the Krugers, the Hintons, the Morrises, Bransons, the Inowens, the Rippins, the Langs, Ravesteins, Wade, Stephen Tracy, and the Wades, and others who bought property and moved into the area, and by God's grace, they joined this congregation. So that was a large influx of people over a few years leading up to this extension being built. The other thing that happened, which is very significant, is YWAM bought probably, I reckon, within 12 months, not because we were here, but they bought the Murray Outer Children's Home, and the YWAMers linked in with us. Quite a number of them, some were on leadership, just blessed us as a congregation. And again, at the risk of leaving names out, there was Carol Cock, Lou Ryan, Lionel and Deb, who are here today, and Lou and Carol, Bev Tudman, I think Mark and Robin Finlay was before we did the extension. Craig and Nadine, were you here before the extension, or did you see a nice building and thought you'll come later? Yeah, the later. Okay. Yeah. But Craig and Nadine are here today, and they were a great blessing once we were using this facility. And there are many other YWAMers came and went during that time, and many names I won't remember. They were here for 3 months, and then they go overseas, and then we wouldn't see them again for a while. But just to reflect on, that was sort of the context in which I think some of the growth flowed, and people came here with a desire to love and serve God and to share the gospel and to make known God's grace to people. But it became very evident that that we needed more space. And the place was, that's in the old area, looking towards the entrance at the where you came up the stairs from the bottom car park. The idea of having two services was suggested. We could have a contemporary service for families and a more traditional service. And I remember resisting that and saying, if the gospel can bring Jews and Greeks together, it can bring hymn singers and contemporary singers together. So I figured that we would steer a course where we stayed together rather than just without this, just continue to function. And there were many other reasons we needed more space apart from Sunday morning. I remember one funeral that really pushed the barrow. And sadly, it was Trish Conway's husband, actually, who had passed away. His funeral here, we were packed in the old, what is now the coffee area, and we were packed in the back hall. The only microphone we had had one speaker that went into the back hall. I was leading the service. I was also singing. So... So I think that might have pushed the barrow a bit to say we've got to make more room for everybody to be in the same room. But there were baptisms and some weddings and different things where the place was bursting at the seams. Young parents had nowhere to go. I remember Tom Playford, Rebecca remembers Tom Playford. She had babies and baby and was looking for space and was going to take... Jess, I think it was, outside, and Tom followed her out and said, no, I want you to know that children are welcome here, and I think that speaks of the spirit of the place at the time, and again, it highlighted that we needed more space for more ministries, both on Sunday morning and at other times. There's a harvest festival where we've been in the old area in the first or second year. I think Anne White was involved in that, where we just... The space for these sort of things were limited. And then there was the Sunday school ministry was growing with Leslie and Fred Vince. I remember we would have a morning service in the old area there. We'd stop for coffee. The kids would go to their children's ministry and all the adults would sit around and not pull the sermon to bits. Fred would have that might have happened a bit, but Fred would bring something for the adults to wrestle with, and I remember that was a time of growth for the adults and the children. But the issue with children on Sunday morning, it meant that something needed to happen in terms of having a physical space. The music team, with all these people here, and I've only had these photos, pictures were pulled out of my resources that I had to go through under our storage bed, and so I notice there's a whole lot of pictures that both on the board and in packets out the back that you can look at for the different areas of ministry. But there were godly senior members with young families coming who were very accepting and encouraging and I just happen to have photos of Wilf and Dennis and Betty, who encouraged and affirmed the ministries of the young people, both with music and how they were involved and having them as part of the service. But we found and again highlighted the need for a more space with the worship team. When I came here, we had a pedal organ and a piano. My first wife, Lynn, used to beat out the piano. I think she broke 3 strings in the first 2 years, where she used to be really gifted and with music and worship. But then we moved from a pedal organ, piano and a flute, and then we had a pedal organ, piano, a flute and a guitar, and then we had a pedal organ, piano, flute, guitar and drums, and then we had a pedal organ, piano, flute, guitar, drums and a keyboard, and we were obviously running out of space, and I'm not sure whether Lionel will thank me for putting that photo up, but the YWAMers would bring their music and others as well, and so again it highlighted the need for more space. And there were midweek ministries happening. That's a setup for the men's breakfast. We used to have sometimes up to 70 men, most of them or many of them from the community, who would come to the breakfast that Oars in Alwyn used to lead and organise. We had all sorts of speakers used to come and share with that. There was Summit Contact, and I haven't got photos of all these ministries, but I think there's packets of photos out there which you can glance through and point on the table on the right as you go out. Summit Contact, 30 or 40, up to 50 people were... Tables were spread out in that coffee area and highlighted the need. Kids Club with 30 or 40 children, mostly from the community, and people were meeting in house churches. 70 or 80% of people at that time were in home groups as well. But in the midst of all that, and just very quickly, there were baptisms. That's Mandy Foreman's baptism. I didn't feel as the pastor that I had to be doing everything. I apologise that I'm in most of the photos. I think that's Hayley being baptised, just so you can tell by the hair, can't you? It could be, yeah, you can recognise it. That's Mandy's baptism there. Have I got that in there twice? Sorry? Yeah, I have got it in there twice. Yeah, sorry about that. There's Linda's, Jeanette baptising Linda. Orr's being baptised by Wilf. Leslie being baptised by Wilf. There's Dennis baptising Glenn Rippon. You won't thank me for putting that photo up, will you, Glenn? No. And there's Glenn's son James, Tom Playford, baptising James. And I think that's David getting baptised there. But you can see just the baptistry there is where the photo board is for those who may not have been here when we were using that area. That whenever we had baptisms, we had to dismantle the top of the stage where all the music and that had to be, and we would fill that's a permanent tank that was filled by the downpipe that came in one side and out the other side of the church, and it was leaking a bit as well. So that was another reason we needed to do an extension. And then there were church camps, and again, I think there's a lot of other photos out there, and I think that was before we did the extension here. We used to go to Wellington for, I reckon, about 20 years, and there's another shot of one of the church's camps down at Wellington, and that may have been after we were in this area, but just the sense of community was something that was very, I think, very powerful, that people felt loved and friendships were formed and people's relationship with God was deepened as they fellowshiped with each other and were part of the church. But these things were happening, the concept of having an extension like this developed over several years. I remember when I first came, the back hall, we had a stage and two little changing rooms. One was my office that probably with how much weight I've got now, I would hardly fit in it sideways. But it was a very small little changing room. That was the church office up there. And we wanted to make some changes in the back hall. And I know that I supported it, and I think wiser heads than mine might have said as well, before we change anything, and this is in the first two or three years that I was here, let's have a long-term plan so that whatever we do, we don't build something, you know, and then 5 years later have some other plan that's going to change. And even in the early years, the concept was that if we ever needed it, and that was the way it was put, as we had the idea of a footprint like this, and some key principles that shaped it was that we wanted to eliminate steps from so that whatever eventually happened, we didn't have people climbing stairs to go into the back area. We had level access through, and it came up with the basic what's happened now, and it included this extension, access with no steps. Me thinking in budget mode, and you'll be very pleased that the pastors don't dictate everything at a church, I suggested a white flat-ceilinged hall coming out the side. I thought I'd save money and it'll be cheap and we can do it quick and we'll have a big area, but fortunately we had wiser people on the team that made sure that didn't happen. But the playground fence was one of the key things that happened out the back. We had Murrayata Funds provided that for us. And I'm going to just very quickly, as I get close to finishing what I share with you, I'll just read what the Courier put in about these key milestones. There's four key milestones that happened leading up to this being built. But the Courier had an article saying, Norton Summit children will be swinging from the monkey bars while their parents attend the local Baptist church on Sundays. Parishioners recently finished a new playground complete with childproof fence, sandpit, gym equipment, using $2,700 donation from the Murrayata Trust. Pastor Robin and Brian Branson told me off for saying this and getting it in the paper. Pastor Robin Carter said the playground belonged to the wider community as well as the church, and families with preschool children are welcome to use the facility at any time. And Brian was very wise because he was concerned about liability issues if people came in, and so, but my enthusiasm and impetuousness meant that, that's what was put in the paper. And then as the next major thing that happened was that the floor was raised in where the coffee area is now, and I'm just trying to get this to work. The floor was raised, and again, I apologise, I'm in the photo, but what we did that in a weekend, and those who are around will remember, but we got under there with chainsaws, we cut all the beams off, flush to the wall, got car jacks, jacked it up about half a metre, built a subframe with like stud work. That's now you know what you're standing on. You might be nervous when you go out there now. And it all happened in a weekend pretty much. And I will, again, I think if you don't mind, I'll read what got put in the courier. It says, parishioners at Norton Summit Baptist Church brought along their tools and lent a hand raising the sanctuary floor last Sunday. The gathering was the first of many working bees being held to cut down the costs of the church's proposed new extensions. After 2 years of prayer and discussion, the congregation decided to go ahead with plans to expand the church premises. Extensions to the worship area subject to council approval will be stage one of the program to upgrade facilities to comfortably accommodate the growing number of people attending the church. Pastor Robin Carter said some parishioners were travelling from as far, this is interesting, were travelling from as far as Montacute. So, but yeah, anyway. And I must have said the church will continue to grow as its members seek to witness to Jesus Christ in serving the community both locally and overseas. Organisers estimate the building costs about $95,000, but hope to reduce this amount with the volunteer labour and discounted materials. The extensions and car park paving should be finished in June 1992. One-tenth of the money spent, and Tim has alluded to this, on upgrading the church will be sent to Australian Baptist World Aid for building an orphanage in India. And so that was just the main decision, the significant decision, knowing that this was a possibility to eliminate steps in the area and to make more space and usable space. The floor was raised in that area. And I think in terms of the fundraising, there were one-off donations. People gave interest-free loans. There was one person who gave us interest-free loan that I had to confront pastorally, and he wanted his money back, and that was fine. That was a way that people contributed. And I remember myself, I gave everybody in the congregation $5. I said, go and multiply it. And I said, in a month's time, I trusted people to bring at least the $5 back. That was a way of just raising some funds. But as we get close to me finishing, and I'm sorry if I'm going on a little bit long, finally the council gave approval. And again, would you bear with me if I read the article that was in the Courier that summarises some of the issues around the approval? The Norton Sun Baptist Church can look forward to sweeping views during its Sunday service following last week's East Torrens Council meeting. I remember being at that meeting. Councillors gave the thumbs up to the church's plans to build an extension onto the existing 19th century building. Approval was given subject to 11 conditions, and despite objections from adjoining property owners, neighbour Arthur Bauer told the meeting that he believed extensions conflicted with the district's supplementary development plan, Mount Lofty SDP, and state government's 2020 vision plan. The problem of safe parking was his biggest concern, with increased traffic, inadequate sewerage, and the level of noise and dirt during construction. I know that we talked to the neighbour, and we, as good godly people, should seek to get on with their neighbours. Originally, the plan just had a blank wall facing the neighbours, and so we said, oh, we don't mind. We'll put an alcove out there, which is the extra little bit of space, which gave a bit of an office area, and that was partly a catalyst of responding to the concerns that Arthur had at the time. Mr. Bauer said the local and state heritage value of the old building needed to be considered. I know I remember hurrying up getting the extension done before we got listed as heritage. I don't know what that says to people here who might like those ideas, but I thought, well, it's going to cost a whole lot more if we have to deal with heritage issues. And the extensions are part two of the church's stage four plan to upgrade facilities. The floor of the existing building and was completed. New extensions will seat 180 churchgoers comfortably. I should add the word legally. Included in the extension application was paved and sealed car parking, which we got a letter from the council to say it's okay not to do that. And the chairman of the building extension committee, Brian Branson, said the congregation was pleased with the council decision. I do feel for the next door neighbours though. It is a large structure and members had long discussions with adjoining property owners when the plans were being drawn up. It was a matter of need and the congregation has expanded. Mr. Branson said the church had neither the resources nor the tradespeople to copy the old style of the chapel. We do recognise that the structure is different from the main building. It was a matter of making it sympathetic, not an attempt to duplicate the church. And I know the quote, to have stone like we've got in the back wall, we saved 25% because that wall was already there. We could just reuse that wall. But to do something like that on the end of the building, of the 95, that was going to be $30,000 just to put a in-character stone wall at the back. But it's a beautiful space that I'm winding up. You've heard pastors say that before, haven't you? It's a beautiful space for Sunday worship. I've been running silent retreats here. Last year we had one about a month ago. People who come here from Hills Baptist, where I am, we had 22 people here about a month ago, and they have an experience of God that they wouldn't otherwise have if they didn't come to a space like this where they can gather and just find a space to spend time alone and also in community together. And it's a great space. I know churches use it for Alpha weekends. The ministries of this church are continuing. Leaders' retreats, weddings, children's parties, celebrations of birthdays. But as I wind up... Sorry, I should have moved that on. That was how we set it up for the first service, to set it up for a sense of community around the Lord's table, focus on Christ's saving work for us. And you can see that the ceiling hasn't been put in, there's no curtains, there's no baptistry, flushing hasn't happened. I know Brian Branson was very involved in putting the ceiling in. We had a big, scaffolding in here. But I do remember one side didn't have a bar, and I remember we were flushing, doing all that. But I remember I went like that, and I realised my foot was looking down from about the top of the top windows there, and I just stopped quick enough not to step off from that. It's a great place that God has used over the years, and the purpose then is the same as the purpose now. It was never about the building, but discipling followers of Jesus, people's involvement in God's kingdom purposes and God's mission both locally and overseas. Many individuals and families who attended or grew up as part of Norton Summit Baptist over the last 30 years, if they have families, are discipling their children to be followers of Jesus, are active either in this church or other local churches or in mission and serving God in many different ways. And God has done amazing things in people's lives because they've been able to gather in a place like this. And I know there were six people who have attended theological college and training for full-time ministry. Some were just testing the waters and they didn't go on to full-time ministries. Others have done that, and Tom Playford is one of them. He's here today. Where's Tom hiding? Just here in front of us. And there were other Leslie Vince. Sorry, Leslie. And See, I'm making enemies. I'm sure there's probably somebody else here who I've missed. So many people are involved in all sorts of ministries who have been brought up in this church and discipled in this church. And Norton Summit Baptist Church has done an amazing job making disciples of Jesus. And that's why this building was put out. That's why it was done. And to read the words on the plaque, it was opened to God's glory, opened as a witness to God's grace and provision, and for the purpose of making known the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, Sunday, June the 5th, 1994. And Romans 1:16, the full verse says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," that's on the plaque, "because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So God bless you all. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the opportunity to share with you.
Yeah, Corinthians 12, verse 12, it talks about the many parts of the body making up the body of Christ. And that was certainly true of the congregation that we had here 30 years ago. And when we're looking at putting this extension on, we managed to put together a building committee that was made up of a talented architect, Murray Coleman, who was living on the YWAM base at the time. And he unfortunately has sent his apologies for today. He'd love to have been with us sharing in this experience, but he was the mastermind behind the floor plan and the footprint and the sighting of here. And he's still in his email saying when he couldn't come, he's highlighted that this is probably his favourite project that he's been involved with over the last 30 years. So it was really good to get that. He did also mention that one of the other things he'd like to say, that no members were lost during the construction of this. I think he was referring that the congregation were right behind the project and stayed through. But having heard Robin talk about I can remember being pushed around on the mobile scaffold while we were painting these trusses and putting the ceilings in, and maybe he did actually mean no members were lost. That we certainly didn't adhere to all the occupational health and safety stringent requirements required. We also had Glenn Trebilko, who was an engineer as part of our congregation, and he also was on the committee. Glenn was a very cautious and he was the measure twice, cut once approach and made sure that everything was done. And he was also probably in charge of the compliance, that if we wandered too far off the rules, he would always be pulling us back into line. Brian, the optimistic valuer, was also on the committee. He's probably a bit more of the measure once, cut twice brigade, and was again, his enthusiasm and passion for getting his sleeves rolled up and assisting with that, getting the project, it was very much a big driving force of the committee. And then myself, as a risk-adverse quantity surveyor who had the job of trying to keep the budget in control, and then we also co-opted in our treasurer, Len, and Pastor Robin on that committee. But the actual working on the project itself, everyone was involved. We had, I remember Dennis Haynes was painting the windows, and we had everyone, we became very well known down at the McGill Pizza Bar, because late nights after sort of working here, putting up ceilings and painting, we'd have to go and feed ourselves to replenish ready for the next night. And there were a lot of people that put in a lot of time to make all this happen. And we have asked today two of those. We've got Brian and Len Ravestein, who were long-time members of this church and heavily involved during the construction, to speak for 5 minutes each, and then they'll just about get us back onto our schedule for wrapping this up and having an afternoon tea. So I'm not sure. I think I might get Len up first, because then that'll give Brian the remaining time to finish. Otherwise, Len might not get up. Yeah. Thanks, Len.
Oh, it's very good to be here and see this project so well used after all the blood, sweat and tears went into it in some ways. But it's all been very well worth it. And I was involved here about 20-odd years, and things have changed in that time. When I came here first, Brian. Where is Brian? Here he is. I was here about 3 or 4 months, and Brian said, "We're looking for a new treasurer." Now, I don't know why he picked on me. Maybe because I'm a Dutchman, and they are very frugal and careful of money. And I would also like to point out how things have changed. At that time, the person who was treasurer, I hope he's not here, would empty the bag, put it in his pocket or in the bag, and took it home. And that was it. Now, I said, first thing will change. I get a book, two people counted and signed for it. And that was the way we did it for many, many years. And that has changed again now, I believe. My part in the development was I was also treasurer. So there the Dutchman comes in again. And the bills had to be paid, and free loans, as Tim said, had to be organised. And that was all done in a way that was a blessing to the church. And there were other things that I was still working. But when I retired, the baptistry was done, the shelves over there and the office was fitted out. So a lot of work was done. But one thing that stands out, before the building was even ready, the ladies decided to have the carpet, and similar to this, the same as this, but the choice was to be red. Red, R-E-D. And when it was time to, we paid the deposit, but when it was time to place the official order, there was no red carpet available. So that's why this green carpet. All in all, there's a lot of things that happened, and I'm very pleased that I was part of it. Thank you.
G'day. It's great to be back here after all these years, looking at what I reckon is the best view in the house, that back wall there. We came to the church, I reckon we came on Christmas service 1983, and I was greeted by Tom Playford with his huge hands, and from then on we came here. The floor of the old church didn't have a carpet, and they didn't have the new chairs. It was only just after we started that happened. And I can also then remember being involved in doing a lot of bits and pieces around here. But one morning, Tom got me by the back door on the one that goes out towards the kitchen there. He said, "Brian, we've got to do something about this church. We're already 75% full. We need to do something." So that started us thinking. There were three options we had. One was demolish a church and start again. Number two was sell the church and start somewhere else. Or the third one was what we've got here. And I still found, I was looking at, or a year or so ago, and found the original drawing I had of a rectangle going off here. But God gave me a vision so that I could think of other things during the sermon of looking at the trees. So, hence the windows. But that was my only contribution to the design. But it was probably 3 years, I suppose, before we did much about it. We then decided we were going to raise, we did two floors. First of all, we raised the floor of the old stage. It had a slope of about a foot, I think, over the whole lot. For the younger people, 300 mil. We raised that, and that took us, I think we did that over 2 weekends, a bit slow. Then we decided, okay, we're going to be building out here. We better raise the floor of the old church, because that's an easy thing to do within our budget. So, as Robin said, we got in here after Kids Club, I think it was, and did a bit of preparatory work. Next morning, we got in here, and as it's been described. But we did use, I can still remember David Vince, David Trujillo, Mark, and several others going down. There was a trap door in the middle of the floor. We sent them down under. Reasonably safe. Reasonably. They were expendable. We had more kids. But they were underneath tossing up what they'd found down there from history. None of it was worthwhile, so it's all gone. But I can still remember that. And then about midnight, 1 o'clock the next morning, Sunday morning, it was ready for church. We got, and I was told before, and I think Tim had also been told, you won't get it done. We had a church service in there next morning. It did take a bit longer to get the steps in place, and I think whoever did it, they did a fantastic job. You can still get underneath the church if you want to. Take the side panel out and slide them. I can't fit anymore. But that was worthwhile. And it, during the, all the things we did around here, it built great camaraderie between all of the blokes involved. We got to know people in a completely different way, you know, that everyone worked out that, yeah, I'd measured the wrong place to put the hole in the wrong place and we'd have to redo it and that sort of stuff. But it was all done with great humour and good fun. I can remember that you don't use a chainsaw to cut into heeble blocks because it blunts the chain. I think I went through three chains just to get the door in underneath because that wasn't originally planned. But things like that were great. Once the church was finished, well, rephrase it, once the structure was finished and prior to painting it could be reused, and I thought, I lost interest. I don't do painting. If you start using something when I'm involved, bad luck, it's finished. So the only two other memories I have that are worthwhile sharing, I think, at the moment is that one day I was coming up. I used to drive past every day on the way to work to see how it was going. There used to be a power pole out there. It took the side of my car out very nicely as I drove through it. I think the power pole's gone now, but it used to take power up to the Norton's house. So it was, that was one of the miserable things that happened. But the rest of the things that were the pizza nights we used to have, did a bit of work. But it, look, it was a great time, and I thank everybody that was involved for what they've done. I think everyone should be very proud of it. But what amazes me is how young we must have been. Yeah. Well, the women aren't, but yeah, but we haven't aged very much at all. So, but look, we were blessed to have such a group of people, with God being so supportive of us. I mean, the safety aspect was a little bit dodgy, you might say. God was looking after our well-being. God was looking after the whole planning aspect. And something I've learnt from that and have carried forward since then is sometimes you've got to put your foot out and take that first step. It can be terrifying, but God has always supported us. Thank you very much.